If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium. It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone, and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime.
Warning. On this podcast, we take the cases seriously, but not ourselves.
Although, we may attempt to lighten the mood at times.
Our episodes contain graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised.
I've had enough.
Of what?
And it's time we made a fucking stand.
We?
Yeah.
As a community or you and I?
I mean community.
Okay.
This, we need a law changing.
Right.
Well, the law actually isn't there. We need the law.
We need to bring this in.
We need a law put in place.
Yes.
And this isn't just Ireland.
Okay.
This is fucking everywhere.
I'm getting hyped.
Right. If I take Norman out for a walk.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if it's on a path. The park, on the road,
yeah,
outside a shop. If he shits and I don't pick it up, I can get fined. I can get in shit.
Yeah.
And he shits like a rabbit, like fucking rabbit droppings.
Where are you going with this?
We were driving back from the shop the other day.
Yeah.
And an horse had shit.
Yeah.
For a good, I'd say about 3 foot.
Yeah.
A trail of shit on the fucking road for me to drive in. And them big bastards are allowed to shit where they fucking want. Now, I know what you're saying. It's a lot more awkward for them to get off and clean up after the fucking horse. One, don't have them on the fucking road then. Two, Rag and Bone Men were scruffy bastards, but they went around with a bucket and a little spade and they fucking scraped up their horse shit. So there's no fucking excuse. I've said my bit. Let's get the ball rolling on getting a law in place. If you're taking your horse out and it fucking drops a fucking dollop on the road, you have to pick up after it.
Right.
They make a lot more mess than a fucking dog.
Yeah. No, I see what you're driving at. Yeah.
So, you know, are you going to start the...
Well, I didn't even know what you were going to come out with, which, you know, it was a bit dodgy, but I was getting on board. I was feeling your passion, you know?
Yeah.
You were convincing me. You were the cult leader right there, and I was buying into it.
It was just when we were driving on from the shop the other day and I saw it and I was seething.
Yeah.
I was like, if I were driving on that side of the road, I'd have had to drive into that shit.
No, I know what you're saying, because it's one of those things, if I see it, I'm kind of like, oh, there's horse shit. I don't even kind of, you know, because they just get away with it.
Yeah.
I don't.
Why?
Yeah, no,
why are they so superior?
Yeah.
No,
it's a fair point.
You know, I'm respectful. If I'm on the road and there's an horse, I will slow right down. I'll give them a lot more room than a fucking cyclist. Fuck cyclists. But, yeah, I will make sure that my revs are low. I'm very fucking careful when I'm going around an horse.
Yeah.
Partly being, if they kick off and they kick my car, they're going to do some fucking damage.
No, but I do take your point. And, you know, and this isn't Sheffield where you're just tying bags of shite to your car.
Yeah.
Like, we don't just have shit, you know, flung around the gaff in Ireland. We don't do that.
It's very much a Sheffield thing. We saw it in Ireland.
No, but that's why it became a thing, because it's not a thing over here. It had me baffled as to what was going on. But apparently it's a thing in Sheffield. You quite enjoy tying bags of shite to things, particularly your vehicles, it seems.
Yeah.
So kind of, you know, the connection between shit and road, that's something you lot enjoy, you know? But again, this is Ireland. We don't want shit everywhere.
No.
Especially not horse shit, the amount of it.
I know, that's what I mean.
Yeah, no, I take your point. I hadn't really given it much thought.
Well, I have.
Yeah.
Extensively. Yeah. I kept putting an F in it.
Yeah, I don't know what was happening there. A bit of a stroke. I think, you know, maybe we're desensitized to it because well, like you said, it's not, you know, you see a horse shit, you kind of go, it's a horse shitting. But also because they were a mode of transport and, you know, still are to a degree, but they were more common on the road. So we kind of just think it's just, you know, it's a living thing. It's going to shite.
Yeah. Because I know there's going to be people in the comments going, so horse shit's actually good for the environment. It's good for plant life. Any shares? In that case.
Not really doing much on the tarmac, like, but...
Well, yeah.
No. I don't know. How would you police it, though? Do you know when you think about it? Because if they pull the horse over and they get off, then they're just holding up traffic anyway. It becomes a whole thing. You would be more upset about that, I think.
They're holding up the traffic anyway.
But more so if they're stopping completely.
At least while they're stopped, you can easily go around them.
Yeah, I suppose.
So, no excuse. You know, you can, on its collar, can strap a bucket to its collar.
You could strap a bucket to its arse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If there isn't already an invention.
Horse people, let us know.
No, we will invent it, right.
TM.
Yeah, TM that shit.
We'll put our branding on it.
We're going to do like a canopy. An upside down canopy attached to the back of an ass.
Yeah.
So when it shits, it just falls straight in the canopy.
Very, very representative of the show, just a bucket of shite.
Yeah.
Yeah. We do quite often say it's a shit show.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that, yeah, that goes.
And you're quite a literal person, so we're going to use literal shit to represent this show.
Yes.
Perfect. This took a nice turn.
Look, I think... You know, the amount of times I've said something on this podcast and you've been like, oh, no one's going to fucking follow you with that one.
Yeah.
And they always do.
Yeah.
They never disappoint me.
But they don't
me.
Always, but yeah.
This so one, I knew 100% of the comments is going to be positive of what I'm saying.
I love when it comes back round, though. We're putting the world to rights here. Isn't that lovely?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're putting fires out all over the place.
Yeah. So, and I know, personally, that... There's a few of our listeners who have osses. Pick your shit up. Pick your fucking shit up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm telling them direct.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is a PSA.
Yeah.
Right.
If I see, me personally, if I see you on an oss and that oss drops a shit and you just trot off and hold up traffic anyway, leaving a trail of shite behind, I'm scooping it up, I'm following your arm, and I'm putting it in your exhaust pipe.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you know what it is? So I had a starter picked out for this episode, and I was excited to do it. I know the listeners want to hear it as well.
Yeah.
And then Neil was like, no, I have a starter and I need to do it because I'm going to forget.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, yeah, right, you work away. Never would I have guessed what it was going to be. Now, it's kind of hard anyway because I never really know what you're going to come out with. I didn't think horse shit was going to be on the agenda today, but I'm pleasantly surprised. We've righted some wrongs, I feel, or we're in the process of doing so.
I didn't know if you were going to, you know, put two and two together because when we went past that horse shit.
I don't remember this.
Yeah, we went past the horse shit and I looked at it and I could feel my blood boiling and I went, I've got a starter.
When was this? About a week ago. I know you said to me, oh, I've got a starter a few days ago.
We were either coming back from the gym, because you go to the gym
now. I go to the gym now.
Yeah, we were either coming back, I think it was the day we went to the gym and then went to the shop straight after.
Right.
It was that day.
No, I don't remember seeing a pile of horse shite. But then again, like I said, I'm desensitized to it. I don't think about it.
Yeah. Mm.
No, fair point. I can understand why you've brought this up, why you feel so passionately. Yeah, I'm behind you.
You imagine if I'd just spent 50 quid cleaning and polishing car. Because it was straight out of the, where we'd get the car washed.
Yeah.
It was, you'd literally pull out of there and go about a foot up the road.
Right.
And you'd be straight in that shit.
Straight into it.
Yeah.
Wading through shit.
Yeah. So, we have a shout out.
We do indeed.
So, this week, we have... Well, essentially, it's Kelly 2.0. We have another Kelly.
No, we actually, this is our third.
Oh, a third. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so I had two options for the shout out.
Go on.
The first one is Kelly Bundy. Do you get the reference?
Did Ted have a wife called Kelly?
No.
No.
No, see, I knew you'd go straight to Ted Bundy.
A daughter?
No. Well, he did, but that's not her.
Oh. Kelly Bundy.
Kelly Bundy. Who's that? Because we got to give her a second name because, again, there's three Kellys.
Ted's mother.
No, it's not Ted Bundy.
Oh. I don't know then.
Kelly Bundy from Married with Children.
Huh?
Married with Children, the show. Al Bundy, Peggy.
I've never really watched it. You watch it.
Yeah, it's a good show.
I've never really
watched
it.
Well, like I said, Kelly Bundy, I don't know why, came to mind straight away. I think it's because we need to give her some other type of title because we got three of them.
Yeah.
We're very popular with the Kellys.
Yeah.
The other option there is, because we've already got three, we just give her a completely new name. Any names you like? Any names kicking about your head?
For me, I've got one. Well, no, two, but one I prefer.
Okay.
Kelprit.
Kelprit?
Yeah.
What's that?
No, prit, not prick.
I didn't say prick, did I?
Oh, I thought you said prick.
Oh, I might have done. I like saying that word.
Kelprit, like culprit. Kelprit.
Well, I meant just renaming her. Take away her identity, give her a new mortal identity.
Oh.
Yeah, like, you know...
Florence.
Florence, there you go. There's one for you.
Well, if you went down the Bundy thing, isn't the other one Rose?
No, but we're not, we don't want to associate her with Ted Bundy.
No, well, what's the mother called in that show?
Peggy.
Oh, Peggy. Call her Peggy.
Peggy. Thank you, Peggy.
Peggy.
We appreciate you.
Where did I get Rose?
Ted Bundy's daughter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but again, we're getting Peggy. We're sticking with Peggy then.
Okay.
Thank you, Peggy. We appreciate you. So while we're on the topic of shout-outs, Neil, how about a couple of reviews we got?
Okay.
So the first one is the plot twists you don't know you needed or could possibly exist. Oh, that sounds good, doesn't it?
The what?
The plot twists you don't know you needed or could possibly exist. What did you struggle with there?
What doesn't exist? The plot twist?
No, that they didn't know. So when they're listening to the case, yeah, and they're listening, they're plodding along, oh, this is great, la-di-da-di-da.
Yeah.
Listen to the case, and then I'm like, you know, mic drop on this bit. They're like, huh.
It shouldn't be that much of a mic drop, because I guess it.
You do. Sometimes right, sometimes wrong.
Like 87% of the time I'm right.
Yeah. Anyway, they enjoy the plot twists, is the point they're making.
Okay.
Right, so they've said...
Just say that then.
I thought they did. I thought it was pretty clear. Anyway, they say, highly entertaining. Megan has a wonderfully smooth voice and cadence. I often clean or run long distance while listening to the show. Neil. Oh, Neil.
What?
That's the next line. Neil. Oh, Neil.
Meaning what?
The way he's so confidently wrong just leaves me in stitches. I never know what's going to come out of his mouth. I've had to come to a complete stop so many times during my running from laughing too hard. Keep it up. Love it. We'll listen again.
When?
What do you mean when?
When am I confidently wrong?
Most episodes. Most, even if overall you're right, there'll be at least one thing, at least one, you will not let go of it.
Right. Who's Cadence?
No, Cadence. Cadence in your voice.
Just waving your hand about, that doesn't explain anything.
Anyway, thank you for that review. That was a great one. But I apologise. When we screenshotted the thing, we accidentally cut off your name.
We?
So, well, Neil, I wasn't going to put you on blast for doing a shit job of screenshotting. But okay, Neil wants the credit for cutting out your name. But if it's you, let us know. And yeah, we appreciate you. Next review we have, I believe this one is from Amy, one of our Patreon members.
God, what's she got to say?
Well, she said, no faffing about. Brilliant. There you go.
Okay.
You don't even need to write anymore.
That one? More, yeah.
But that's not it. No, that's just the title.
Oh.
Yeah. So she's trying to sell this as well. She's proper trying to, she's not just leaving a review of her own opinion. She's trying to sell it to anyone else who comes across it.
Okay.
So she has said, does true crime fascinate you? Are you tired of the same recycled cases? Give this a go. It sounds like a commercial, doesn't it? I'm loving it. If I could give more than 5 stars, I would. I was lucky to find Megan and Neil not long after they started the pod, thanks to a promo. I was a patron within a week. The chemistry between those crazy kids is gorgeous. Neil, who is desperate to solve the case before Megan is through, and each week he will pick a hill to die on, maybe two.
Why is it coming for me again?
Because that's what you do. I say to you all the time, you always have to have a hill you're going to die on.
Mm.
Every week. If you want interesting, fresh cases told in Megan's smooth Irish accent, and then says she switches between a velvety professional tone, when discussing the case, and an often exasperated brogue when she's being patient with Neil. Yeah?
You're patient with me?
Very patient. You will from time to time hear me lose the plot with you.
Yeah.
I'll just kind of snap. I'll be like, I've had enough today.
Quite often,
yeah. But anyway, she goes on to say, and Neil is from Sheffield in England.
What, is that a negative?
I mean, depends who you're asking. No, sorry, it's actually not a negative. She goes on to say, I love listening to him.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go. There's the positive.
Yeah, because I have a lovely accent.
Megan does great research and Neil is the perfect sounding board. Again, look, people love you. You feel like you're at the pub hashing out a crime with two good friends. I'm 50 and my 14-year-old son and I both listen and it gives us something to connect over. I'm long-winded but can't say enough good things. Check out Ernest Ignorance's review for a more succinct version of how bloody good this pod is. Okay, I'm done. Go listen.
Long-winded? Don't say take prunes?
Very good.
What?
You were proud of that one, weren't you?
Right.
No, if we're remembering correctly, Ernest Ignorance review is the Beaches one, wasn't it? We did read that one out. That was a great
review. I can't
remember. I love that one. I tell you what I really love about this review as well. The fact that she's saying it gives her something to connect with her son about. That's lovely. That's really, really nice, isn't it?
Yeah, but it worries me about a 14-year-old listening to the stuff I say.
Well, I mean, you're hoping you don't motivate the younger generations.
Yeah. Yeah. So from them two reviews, you know, me just getting bloody slagged, I'm going to listen because I want to know what is it I'm supposed to be saying as the person who doesn't read the case. So I need to listen to other podcasts where there's one telling the other a case and seeing what the other one interjects with.
What do you mean?
Well,
why would you do that?
Because I just keep getting bloody slagged.
You're not getting slagged. She just said you're the perfect sounding board.
Saying I'm dying on an hill.
But you do. You've admitted to that. No?
No. Oh, I've said I will die on that hill.
Yes. So you have admitted to it.
But I think I'm right when I say that.
Yes, because you're willing to die on the hill. Like, you wouldn't be doing that if you're like, oh, I'm 50-50.
Yeah.
You're okay. Always at least 87%, aren't you?
Always.
Mm.
So.
Well, no, hang on, because you're about to get into the episode now, aren't you?
Yeah.
No, we've got one last thing. One last little shout out to do.
Okay.
And that is a general thank you to the mortals. Now, I mentioned a certain bookseller who was crossed me and that was struggling to get this book.
Someone got it. Two people got it bang on.
Well, you know, it wasn't hard to know who the shy talk was it? But no. So, yeah, having a bit of difficulty trying to get that book. Now, I have sourced it. I am going to be able to get it. But I want to thank the mortals. You guys are so fucking sweet. So many of you have reached out and said, I'll get it and I'll send it to you.
Well, they just so want your address so they can murder you.
It might be that. But they've disguised it well. They've disguised it with a more genuine, sweet intention.
Actually,
and I appreciate that.
You have to be careful because we're Americans. They could put anthrax in the book and send it. So you open it and you lose your eyebrows.
Yeah.
They used to be a devil for that, didn't they? Anthrax.
Yes, anthrax has been a concern previously.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't really thinking of that when they were offering, but I'm glad you've...
Yeah.
You know, you've made me aware of the possibilities.
Yeah.
You don't have a lot of faith in the mortals, do you? Keep an eye on them, aren't you?
It's not just the mortals. I haven't got faith in many people.
Oh, that's no. Fair. That's fair.
Can I go now?
Can you go now? Well, we still got the full episode to record.
No, that's what I mean. Can I?
Can you do your line?
Yeah.
Yes, work away.
So, what have you got for us today?
Well, today, Neil, we are going to be talking about the murder of Natalie McNally. You do know this case. Well, you know of this case. I don't know how much of it you've looked into.
I didn't you say are a word. Familiar. I just twisted my head like Norman.
You did. I could tell you were looking to the sky for the answer.
Why do I know that name?
You do. You definitely do, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll tell you when pennies dropped.
It might be towards the end of the episode, but yeah.
You don't know what I fixated on.
Oh, but this is it.
So go on.
You ready to go?
Yeah. Scottish.
No, Irish.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know many Irish cases.
Oh, you know this one.
I was going for Scottish because of the Mc.
Right.
McNally sounds more Scottish than it does Irish.
Well, no, today we're going to Northern Ireland, okay?
Right.
Mm. You sound disappointed.
No.
Okay. We're good to go then. You ready?
Yeah.
At approximately 10 p.m. on the night of Monday, the 19th of December, 2022, police in County Armagh, Northern Ireland, were called to a home in Lurgan. It was within this home that they found the body of 32-year-old Natalie McNally. She was laid in a pool of blood, had been severely beaten, with several facial fractures and bone breaks in her neck.
Sorry, you say this a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not just on you. Don't feel bad. It's not just you.
Yes, okay.
Any true crime documentary, any true crime podcast, it could be a news anchor.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a bit insensitive to try and fun it up by saying laid in a pool of blood. Why did
How
they
is
say
that funning it up or whatever the fuck way you just worded that?
Because making art as if the dead body's like swimming in a fucking swimming pool of blood.
It's not. I don't hear it like that at all. It's a pool of whatever the fluid is. If it was water, if it was blood, if it was fucking Kool-Aid, it's a pool of that material.
No, pool, swimming pool.
No, it's not. No. Do you know it's getting earlier and earlier in each episode that you take issue with something?
I've thought that a couple of times when you've said it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I just pull a face.
The pool of blood. So you just don't like the wording.
It's like you're trying to like fun it up a
bit. No, that's not at all what it's meant to be.
Right. Maybe I got wrong end of stick then.
Okay, well, what way would you prefer that to be worded rather than pool?
I'd prefer puddle.
Puddle. You want me to say puddle of blood? That sounds more stupid, if anything. That sounds more like downplaying. Puddle is like I would say it's an objectively kind of a sillier word.
Yeah, but
sillier sounding word.
There's nothing. Yeah, but there's nothing fun about a puddle. There is with swimming pools.
You can splash in a puddle. You never been a kid going out in your wellies?
Splash me from a puddle and you'll see it's not fucking fun.
Well, don't splash me in a pool. I don't find that fun. I'm trying to swim here. Right, so we get on with the case.
Hmm.
She had been stabbed multiple times with wounds to her neck and at least 5 heavy blows to her head. The murder weapon was a knife, which had been taken from Natalie's kitchen. As paramedics enter the home, they find 32-year-old Stephen McCullough, Natalie's boyfriend. With no signs of forced entry in the home, police believe that Natalie knew her killer and had allowed him into her home. It seemed obvious. It must have been her boyfriend. Stephen was arrested then and there, but he was released the following day after confirming his alibi and he was ruled out. So, who was behind this brutal attack?
I'll solve this. Give me the suspects.
You're intrigued.
Is one of them called Kevin? You don't need to tell me anything else about him.
No.
Stephen?
Well, her boyfriend was called Stephen, as I've just mentioned.
Okay. Stuart.
Yeah, Stuart, yeah, that's one of them, isn't it?
Yeah, right. Word of advice to any coppers listening. If you've got a line of suspects and you ain't got a clue which one it is, ask them what the name is. If one of them says Kevin, Stuart, Terry, that's pretty much it. One of them three.
That's all you need to know.
It's them.
Yeah.
Yeah, throw the book at them. Twice.
Natalie McNally was born on the 27th of October 1990 to parents Noel and Bernadette. She was one of 4 siblings with 3 brothers, Brendan, Declan and Niall.
Niall.
Don't like the name Niall?
It
not a fan?
It could be a brother.
Oh, so now you're on the family.
Well, I am when one's called Niall.
Okay. Pretty close to Neil, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but Niall's a prick. Okay. Niall's always a prick.
Right.
You know, they're like a shit Neil.
Well, actually, I believe Neil derives from the name Niall. So you're, if anything, a shit version of Niall.
Why are you trying to upset me?
I'm just keeping it real. Her family were described as being well-known and highly respected in the area. She worked in marketing, passionately campaigned for equality, and had a love of reading, jigsaws, Everton FC and Antrim GAA. The family were close, with her brothers describing her as being the wisest out of the four siblings. She was funny, level-headed, and would always look out for them.
It's not actually that hard for her to be the wisest when it's her and three lads.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's the other thing they noted. They said, like, Natalie wasn't the eldest out of them, but they said she would always look out for them regardless.
Mm.
You know, she's just that type of a person. And, you know, the same, they would always look out for her. They were just a very close family, it seemed.
Yeah.
It also seemed like they kind of struggled to find the words to describe her. They kept going back to saying that she was simply the best. You know, they couldn't kind of think of anything that, you know, was kind of good enough to describe her.
Mm.
You're laughing because Tina Turner, aren't you?
I've got that in my head immediately.
They didn't literally say the word, she's simply the best. Right. I mean, it was like, that was the most simple way for them to put it.
They could have just said better than all the rest.
They could have done that.
Sorry, but now you've mentioned Tina Turner.
Yeah.
All I've got is the memory of your parents, right? There is nothing funnier than when you're sat with another couple and they start arguing about something. You can tell they've argued about for years.
Is this the dancing thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a hot topic in my parents' household.
Yeah, just sat there having a cup of tea and Megan's dad.
My dad loves Tina Turner, just for the backstory there.
Yeah, he'd put a music channel on the TV and Tina Turner came on. And he's always liked Tina Turner. And he said, she's not just a good singer. She's a good dancer as well. But as soon as he said she's a good dancer, he had this grin on his face. And I thought, he's winding her up.
Yeah.
Then your mum just went off. No, she's not. Look.
Yeah, my dad's
not a good dancer.
My dad's a proper wind-up merchant on that one.
And they were just arguing whether she's a good dancer or not. And yeah.
It went on for quite a while. If I went to their house now and said something along the lines, you know, to do with Tina Turner and dancing, it would kick off again.
Yeah.
Every time. But anyway, Natalie was simply the best, as Neil said, better than all the rest.
Well, I didn't.
Well, according to her brothers.
Yeah.
You know? Now, it was in August of 22 that Natalie first met her boyfriend, Stephen McCullough, through Bumble. Bumble. I could tell by the way you looked at me. Bumble, it's a dating app.
Okay.
I'm not entirely sure. I believe Bumble is the one where the woman has to pick the man.
Okay.
Yeah, that's probably a better idea.
Yeah.
Because you know what lads be like? Yes. They don't even know who they're saying yes to.
Yeah.
Well, I say yes, it was a swipe right. I've never used a dating app. I don't know, lads. I'm out of the loop.
Tinder's a swiping one, isn't it?
But I don't know if it's left or right. You always have people saying, like, swipe right. I'm like, oh, I don't fucking know what you're on about.
Yeah, I've never been on one.
Stephen worked part-time for the Belfast Telegraph, and he also supported himself through his fairly successful YouTube channel.
Oh. What did he do?
I believe he did a variety of things, you know, like some reviews and things like that, but I think it was mainly gaming.
Right.
Now, not long into their relationship, Natalie discovers that she is pregnant. And although it was early days, she was said to have been delighted. She couldn't wait to welcome her child, and those close to her had already begun to prepare for the new addition to the family.
Right. I think I've got a theory.
Okay.
Now you've said that. He might have an alibi, but he's smarter than he looks. He's paid someone else and he's made sure he's somewhere. He's not happy, but she's having a kid. So he's paid someone else to do the dirty while he's at somewhere. What's a good alibi?
I was going to say again, are you locking that in? But we know from previous, you'll lock it in and then retract.
Unlock it.
Yeah.
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 I'm holding the key.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but you've got your first theory out there.
Mm.
At the time of her murder, Natalie was 15 weeks pregnant and had already picked out a name for her son. She'd chosen the name Dean.
It's as if you're waiting for me to slag off the name Dean. I don't mind the name Dean.
Do you not?
No.
You a fan of it?
Not a fan, but I'm not.
Yeah. You know, issues with it.
Yeah.
He's not on the list, you know?
No.
The night of the murder, Natalie had been at her parents' home to watch the World Cup final before returning home at about 7 p.m. As Natalie left her parents' home that night, her arms were full with items her mother had given to her, including wrapping paper in preparation for Christmas. She turned to her dog, a German shepherd named River, and told him that they were going home to the cats. It's estimated that Natalie was murdered sometime between 8:50 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. on Sunday, the 18th of December, so the day previous to discovery.
Right.
Due to the extensive injuries, the pathologist could not identify the cause of death, but stated that either the stab wounds or compression of the neck could have been fatal on their own. He noted that Natalie had suffered a, quote, prolonged assault.
Yeah, because didn't you say they twatted around head with something as well?
Multiple stab wounds and at least 5 heavy blows to the head.
Yeah, so it could have been that as well.
Well, that's what he's just said.
No, he didn't. He said stab wounds or compression to the neck. He didn't say, oh, about the lump to the head.
Oh, yeah, sorry, but he's not saying a definitive cause of death.
Right.
But he clearly he's not counting that as a fatal blow, what could have caused her death.
Okay.
Her father Noel and brother Declan identified her body, although Natalie was said to have been, quote, almost unrecognisable due to the extent of her facial injuries.
Poor fuckers.
Yeah, that's fucking brutal to have to go through that.
Mm.
The night that Natalie was murdered, Stephen had texted her multiple times to check in and make sure she was okay. The following evening, upon discovering Natalie's body, he calls 999 and he can be heard sobbing and saying, quote, she's gone. There's blood everywhere. The attack on Natalie was brutal, both by the severity of the attack, but also all of the surrounding details. This was a 32-year-old woman who was pregnant, excited to start the next chapter in her life and in the run-up to Christmas. I'm sure it ran through her mind, you know, this time next year, I get to celebrate Christmas for the first time with my child. I can't imagine how exciting this must have been for her. This was a truly awful situation for, obviously not just Natalie's loved ones, but the community. Even the officer who had to deliver the news to her parents struggled to hold back tears while doing so. As the days went by and suspects were ruled out, her family were essentially just waiting and praying for answers, as well as an arrest. Quote, it'll not bring Natalie back, but it's all we've got. There's nothing else in our lives. Every day I get up, and I just hope I'm going to get the call to say, we've got this fella. He's admitted it.
Got the bastard.
Now, while speaking with the police, Natalie's boyfriend, Stephen, not just suspected, but immediately blamed her ex-boyfriend for the murder.
So when you were around the time when you were saying he was sobbing and saying she's gone and stuff like that, I was there thinking, oh, it doesn't sound like it could be him unless he's a good actor. Does she have an ex and is he pissed? But like things are going well.
Yeah, with her new YouTuber fella.
New YouTuber fella who's got her knocked up, you know.
She's moving on with her life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I sound like a twat saying it after. You know, I should have fucking said something at the time.
Well, I could tell you were working on something because you got a little bit quiet there for a minute.
Okay.
You know, I could see, you know, the cogs were turning.
Yeah. There is cogs there. Yeah.
It's just not well oiled at times. You know what I mean? Yeah. So this ex, Natalie and he, it seems, you know, they may have officially ended their romantic relationship, but they were still friends, or as he described them, best friends. And they had been together in a romantic sense as late as October 22.
Okay, I'm raising my eyebrow at Natalie.
So yeah, there's a little bit of a crossover here in the relationships. They'd also exchanged messages which discussed the failure of their relationship, their continued interactions, and more general chat of family relationships, video games, you know, just stuff they were interested in.
Hmm. Everton.
Possibly Everton, you know? Who isn't a fan? I mean, yeah. I'm not, but, you know, good for you. God bless. But in all seriousness, you know, it seems quite apparent that there were still feelings between the pair, you know, at least to some degree.
Mm.
Now, her ex, Stephen said, had been, quote, harassing her, sending her abusive emails, and that she was, quote, very upset by this.
What's his name?
What?
What's his name?
Oh, we're not going to be mentioning his name at the moment. Now, he and Natalie had met on Tinder in 2019, and they had an on-off relationship over the next few years, and as I said, their last romantic interaction being in October of 22. This ex had also been arrested around this time for threatening violence towards his current partner.
So they're not having to look far.
It's not great. Now, his partner did later clarify that he had sent threatening messages, but that he had not actually caused any physical harm to her.
Oh, we all do that.
No, I'm not saying it's okay, but there was a little bit of back and forth where she had spoken to the police and she had said some things, and she later came forward and said, look, he yeah. didn't, they'd been in an argument, she was angry at him, you know what I mean? So yes, he did send some messages that were not great, but he never harmed her as had previously been portrayed.
Mm. Christ, some of the stuff I've said to you alone. Like, if you're going to take my word for it, I'd be on death row.
No, but it's a different thing to say something in an argument, you know, that you don't really mean, and then take the time to message it. Having said that, like, I don't really do that. You have said some hurtful things in arguments.
Yeah, like...
You're not really bad, but you have done at times.
Yeah, no, like, my favourite one, because you hate it that much. say if you tell me to shut up, or...
When have I said to you to shut up? Like, yeah. Seriously?
What?
When have I seriously said to you, shut up?
I'm just thinking of something negative, you'll say to me. So, say you've told me to shut up.
Yeah.
And I'll just go, I'm physically stronger than you.
No, that's absolutely fucked.
I will never do anything to you, but I always say, just remember, I'm physically stronger than you. And you hate, like, you go off.
But if you say that, that's a threat.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're judging him, but you're no better than him.
I'm not judging him.
You're not, so you're okaying it then?
I said straight away, I went, yeah, we all do it.
No, you said it with a tone, being sarcastic, but apparently it's not sarcastic. So you're backing him. It's perfectly fine to be threatening as long as you don't follow through. No. Yes, is that where we're at?
Yeah.
Okay. Fucking God. I just want to distance myself from Neil's comments. It is not okay to do that. It is never okay to do that. I personally would not do that.
I'm
that's
saying
all
it's
on
not
him.
A big deal.
It is a big deal. It's a very big deal.
Do you know how many... Right, I've never killed anyone in my life, as far as I know. But do you know how many times I've said, I'll fucking kill you?
There's a big difference, though. This is what I'm saying to you. Like, someone saying, oh my God, I could kill you right now. They're frustrating you that much.
Mm.
To saying something like, I'm just going to remind you, I can kill you if I want to. That is twisted.
Yeah.
But you also know the type of person I'm. I'll just hire someone to break your legs.
No, but I just do it for fun.
Who's that fun for?
Me.
Because you're sadistic. You're twisted. Who is that fun for other than you? And the reason you find it fun is to make someone feel scared.
No, I don't say it to make you feel scared. You what? Know I'm not going to do anything.
Do I? Uh-huh. No, I think you're making yourself sound a hell of a lot worse here.
Yeah, I think so.
You say it in a joke, not in an argument. You say it in a joke.
Yeah.
I don't think it's funny, regardless, yeah?
Mm.
But if you were to say that in an argument,
yeah,
I'll be on the phone to the lads. Come round here now.
She doesn't know any lads.
I know lads.
She goes to the gym now. She can get the gym bros.
Go to the gym.
Yeah.
I don't need the lads to do it. Me fucking self now. Huh? Anyway, we're getting off topic here.
Mm.
While speaking with the police, Natalie's ex did lie about the amount of contact he had had with her more recently. And was also discovered that he had factory reset his phone to wipe messages.
Doesn't work.
Oh, yeah, they can recover them.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you something else that wasn't great. The visible injuries to his hands.
Oh, he's fucked.
Oh, well, this is it. Unsurprisingly, yeah. Natalie's ex was arrested. When later asked about the emails which he had sent to Natalie and why he had done so, he said, quote, "Because I'm not a nice person. I took advantage of Natalie. I wasn't nice to Natalie. I had a drinking problem. I've only really come to terms with that. I've sent these horrible messages. I'm not saying it's because of the drinking, but I've had problems with drink and weed. I would have been drunk in most of these emails." You look like you want to say something.
He's okay, he's a dick. But he's not helping himself at all.
No.
"I'm not a nice person." So you knew what you were doing was bad.
Yeah.
And continued to do it.
Yeah. You're not giving him any points for just kind of saying it outright?
Oh, well, I suppose, yeah.
Give him 1 point.
Yeah.
When asked about his whereabouts on the night of the murder, he told the police that he had been at home watching the World Cup final with his partner and that she did have a video, which she'd recorded on her phone, of them that night.
Yeah, but this happened after the World Cup final.
Yes, it did. Now, the video was of him asleep on the sofa, which she'd recorded to take the piss out of him for falling asleep during the final.
Right. Oh, that's probably what set him off. You know, she was probably saying, "I'm going to show this to lads. You don't care about football." Because for some reason, right, I'm not one of them, but there's men out there, I know for a fact, don't like football. They don't like watching football, but they pretend they do.
Yes.
To be one of the lads.
One of the lads, like.
This is what lads do.
One of the lads.
If you, like, the amount of times I've had people come up to me and they go, "Oh, what team do you support?" And I go, "Well, I don't really. When I was younger, Sheffield United, but I'm not into football." And they look at me like I'm from outer space. They're like,
"Yeah,
you don't like football."
I have to be honest with you. It was a breath of fresh air when I met you and I found out you didn't give a shit about football.
Yeah.
So happy. I fucking, it never ends with football.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not into sport. The only thing I like is darts, right?
Mm.
In terms of, like, actually sitting and watching sport. Boxing I can tolerate because it's not every fucking night, you know? Same with Speedway. Couldn't give a shite about it. But if you're watching, it's not like every fucking day.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas with football, it's like one thing ends, another one kicks off. It's like, yeah. I can't fucking, there's no let up. And it takes forever to get through a fucking match. Never mind fucking penalties and overtime and, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Anyway, her ex.
Mm.
He also spoke of having anger issues and that the injuries to his hands were the result of him having been punching walls.
As you do.
As you do. Now, the factory reset of his phone, this was to get rid of any messages that he felt were incriminating. But these messages were not with Natalie. These were messages relating to drugs.
Right. Okay.
He did also have marijuana in his home and was paranoid that the police were going to smell it. So I'd say he was a bit more on edge. You know what I mean? He was very kind of jumpy, panicked. So as far as, you know, wiping his phone, all of this shit.
Mm.
Do you get what I'm saying? Because it looks very fucking bad right now. So with a solid alibi and a lot of suspect behavior, whether right or wrong, put into perspective, her ex was cleared as a suspect. With Natalie's current and ex-partner ruled out, police turned their attention to the CCTV in the area. When reviewing this footage, police noticed a man within the area of Natalie's home. He was carrying a rucksack and his behaviour was seen as suspicious. They also noted that the man in the CCTV footage had a similar build and even the same hat as Stephen.
I fucking said it at the start.
Well, look, it's possibly just a coincidence. You know, you can't tell a huge amount from CCTV and having the same hat, you know, it's fucking, you're bound to, it's a small area.
Fuck me. Like, I'd say, I'd say 30% of the lads at my school all had TN hats.
Exactly. And like I said, again, if it's a smaller area, you know, it's not unlike that you're going to shop in the same place, possibly like the same hat.
Hmm.
But what they also thought was odd was that Stephen seemed reluctant to cooperate with elements of the investigation. Stephen didn't really interact with the investigation. All he did was immediately try to blame Natalie's ex.
Yeah.
Remember,
what a bastard.
Remember, Stephen was the one to find Natalie. Any questions they had regarding the scene, you know, he was the first one there. He didn't want to answer. It wasn't that he was saying it was a blur he was struggling to recall, but that he did not want to answer. So, very odd behaviour.
Yeah.
So with this, police are getting a bit sus of Stephen again, and they decide to seize his devices. The only problem was, when they went to seize Stephen's laptop, it was not just as straightforward as getting a warrant. Stephen worked part-time at the Belfast Telegraph, and because he used his laptop for journalism, there are protections in place for journalistic material.
Yeah, yeah.
So the police call in a barrister and a solicitor who work overnight with them to write up the warrant to be approved by a judge the following morning. Now, once they had his laptop in their possession and they had completed a forensic examination of the laptop, the detective sergeant in the cybercrime team said to the senior investigating officer, quote, "Sit down, we've got him."
He was the bastard sending the emails?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, that was her ex.
Right, okay.
Now, just those words, "sit down, we've got him."
Mm.
Those were the words that Natalie's parents had been waiting to hear.
Yeah.
But Stephen was not the name they're expecting to hear.
I don't know why. It took me 10 minutes.
Oh, don't worry. We'll get into it. We'll get into why they didn't believe it was Stephen.
As soon as you said she was pregnant,
yeah.
Him. Straight away, him.
Well, it's... You're always going to think about the partner, first off.
Mm.
The fact that he was there at the scene. And also, I mean, it's horrible to say, but the fact that she was pregnant.
Yeah.
You know? So, before we talk about what was found on Stevie's devices, we need to talk about Stephen's alibi.
His solid alibi, may I add.
Very solid.
You said...
Until it isn't.
Yeah, you said solid.
As I mentioned earlier, Stephen was a YouTuber. And as a lot of YouTubers do, he would host live streams for his viewers. It's clicking now, isn't it? You're recognizing this case.
Straight away, as soon as you said that.
Well, don't ruin it for anyone who hasn't heard the case. On the night that Natalie was murdered, Stephen was hosting a six-hour Christmas live stream titled Violent Night, in which he played Grand Theft Auto Vice City and Robot Wars.
Fucking Robot Wars.
I know, I don't know about that, but Vice City, an absolute classic.
Yeah.
Now, after running a check on Stephen's devices, they found out that he had been inactive on his mobile phone between 6 p.m. and 11:16 p.m. on the night of the murder.
Could have been having a kip.
They also found out that there had been no activity on his computer between 6 p.m. and 12:05 a.m. Which, of course, is not possible if you're broadcasting a live stream.
Mm.
But it is if the so-called live stream is actually a pre-recorded video.
Mm.
Stephen Budd. It's a bit dodgy. In regards to his alibi previously checking out, you know, that sturdy, solid alibi.
Mm.
They didn't just immediately take his word for it. Police had contacted YouTube, who had told them that, yes, the video was live streamed. So what the fuck, YouTube?
Yeah, so, how would you do it? How would I do it?
What do you mean, how would you do it?
Well, like, to trick YouTube into thinking it was a live stream. It was actually a live stream. It's not just uploading. I don't know how you'd do it. Because you could tell if you put a camera to a monitor. I don't know.
They said that they got kind of a quick message back from YouTube.
Mm.
So I think they checked his account, seen he had technically been live. I'm like, yeah, no, he was live streaming at that time. I don't think they looked into it very thoroughly from what I've read. Now, during his faux live stream, Stephen is playing through a mission in the game, which he is tasked with killing a woman. Now, sidebar, it was not specified which mission it was. And I haven't played Vice City in years, and I was racking my brain trying to remember the mission.
Right. I can't think of it.
No, I was actually going to ask you if you remember off the top of your head.
No, I remember that bastard helicopter, though.
No, awful. Absolutely awful.
Is it drone or helicopter?
A helicopter.
Mm.
Yeah, so I actually looked up to check what the mission was. and it's titled Waste the Wife. And in this mission, you have to kill this woman, but you cannot use any weapons. You have to make her death look like a car accident. Do you remember? Is that ringing any
that
bells?
That does ring a bell.
Yeah, it's one of the payphone missions, I believe.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, during this mission, Steven sings, quote, "I need to kill this bitch. I need to take her down." Which, look, it wouldn't be my first choice of words. But if I'm going to give him a little bit of leeway here, if you've ever watched streamers, they're constantly having to be on. They're trying to be entertaining for hours on end. They're bound to come out with a few things here and there, which are, you know, they're not great. They're just trying, they're throwing shit at the wall, seeing what sticks, you know?
Yeah, but if he's pre-recorded the live stream, yeah, it'd be obvious, but he's not live streaming if he's interacting with the fucking audience.
Well, I'll get to that now in a minute.
Oh.
So, like I said, he said that's not great, but, you know, a little bit of leeway for people just saying stupid shit. And he'd been having a drink while recording this, you know. What's not great is that about 10 minutes later, he says, quote, "Abso-fucking-natalie, abso-fucking-natalie."
What?
Very odd why she's referenced at that point, and right. It's never really addressed why.
Right, well, we've got a shout-out ready for the next time we get a Natalie.
It's a bit fucking weird.
Abso-fucking-natalie.
But yeah, that's the only time he references Natalie during that stream, and it just happens to be around the time where he's doing this mission. A little bit odd. Bit fucking weird. Now, Neil, as you very astutely commented on, you copped on to the fact that, well, what about the audience? How is he faking that? At the start of the stream, Steven states that he was having some technical issues and will be unable to engage in the live chat.
Well, yeah, like he didn't even need to say that.
I mean, it's fucking convenient, isn't it?
But he didn't even need to say that. There's a lot of live streamers out there. They don't interact with the audience at all. They just play the game. You're literally just watching them play a game.
Yeah, but if Steven has done previously and then he isn't, they're going to be like, what's going on?
Right, okay.
Now, also found in his laptop was a Word document titled 000 Natalie Timeline. And this detailed his movements and interactions with Natalie, including the day she was murdered.
What an idiot.
It seems a bit of a mixed bag of what he's talking about. Almost as if it was to be found, like police would think he's investigating it. He's looking into it.
Ah, okay.
You know, that kind of way, as if he's so kind of racked with fucking, you know, whatever, guilt and, you know, have not been there for whatever, and he's trying to, you know, suss it all out. It's almost like the updated version. He's using his laptop instead of the corkboard with the string.
Yeah, it's a bit... If something were to happen to you, yeah, I could see me being like fixated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in this Word document, he writes about preparing for his live stream, having been worried about Natalie and also finding her body. Quote, "Blood everywhere, cold to touch, no pulse, face down in dog bowl, blue lips."
Face down in dog bowl?
Yeah.
Very, like, that's a small, like, that's how she landed. That's a small target. Do you think he'd?
I would take a guess, yes.
Right.
Now, I didn't hear that described in other accounts about the murder, but that was what he had wrote in his Word document.
Right.
Stephen continued to maintain his alibi for 44 days and through 8 police interviews. This was before it was proven that the live stream had been pre-recorded, and he was rearrested on the 31st of January. While speaking with police, Stephen said that a trail of circumstantial evidence had been left to frame him by the, quote, "true killer of Natalie." Yeah. I mean, how is that, Stephen? You're the one that's seen out on CCTV. You're the one that streamed a pre-recorded video to set up an alibi. It's not that someone had extracted your DNA and flung it all over this scene. And by the way, I barely mentioned the CCTV and his movements that night. This fool was caught all over the place, including getting on and off the bus and getting a taxi home after missing his train. And he got the driver to drop him right outside of his house. Fucking gobshite.
Yeah. He's not very bright, is he?
No. He's also got a face that just pisses you off. Do you know that kind
of... a face you want to slap?
Absolutely.
Right.
Anyway, on the 2nd of February 2023, Stephen was charged with the murder of Natalie. And that is where we are going to leave it for part one.
Didn't realise this was going to be a two-parter.
Well, it is.
So there's a lot more.
I mean, there's more.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
At least you've solved it, though.
But how do you know I've solved it?
Because it is this bastard.
Yes, it is him. Yes. Neil, any thoughts, any comments, any opinions, any musings?
What was I like, 10 minutes in? Solved it, mate.
I thought you were honing in on the ex.
No, you told me he was cleared. But I initially...
He was cleared.
As soon as you said... Yeah, but you threw me off with it. As soon as you said that Natalie was pregnant, straight, and he was called Stephen.
Mm.
Well, still is, I presume.
Stephen with a PH.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
That's the worst. Yeah, initially, straight away, him. You threw me off.
Well, it wasn't me. It was the investigators who cleared him.
So I apologize to the ex. That was Megan's fault.
My fault, yes.
Yeah.
To be fair, the initial alibi, without having looked into it too far and YouTube confirming it, I mean, you would be like, well, it can't have been him then. If he had been involved, you would have think he'd gotten someone else to do it for him. You wouldn't have thought he had done it himself with what they knew at the time.
I'm sorry, but with the technical difficulties in his live stream and him, what did he say? What I said would be the next Patreon nickname for a Natalie?
Abso-fucking Natalie.
Yeah. Just randomly saying shit like that. Playing that mission as well. I wouldn't have even looked at the ex if I were the coppers.
Well, they still have to.
I wouldn't have... Okay, well, I wouldn't have cleared him.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. But the detective who made the decision, I will, you know, give him credit because he said, I made that decision.
Yeah.
You know, he's saying like, you know, I fucked up.
Yeah.
But it was me who did that.
But there is, right, my biggest issue with the coppers,
mm-hmm.
it's not that they cleared him. They definitely shouldn't have cleared him. But why did it take them to ask him to get his opinion on it's the ex? So then they start looking into the ex and they're proper investigating the ex. And then they check the CCTV.
Well, I'm sure they will have been doing that all along. And you can't take it so literal that's the exact timeline.
Oh, well, I'm just going by how you told me.
Yeah, but I can't tell you exactly what date and time they've done something, Neil.
Right.
I'm telling you that once they're seeing this and putting it together, they're looking at him again.
Right.
I'm not saying on Tuesday the 15th, they decided maybe we'll look at CCTV.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm gonna say,
for fuck's sake, Neil, I wasn't actually in the incident room. Do you know what I mean? I'm doing my best.
Okay.
But, you know, as far as you saying, why are they looking at the ex just because Stephen said it? I get what you're saying. And they did note it was odd that he wasn't just suspecting, like, look into this guy. He's like, it was him. He fucking did it.
Yeah.
Even with that said, some of the ex's behavior wasn't, of his own admission, his behavior with Natalie and his current partner, not great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But again, that doesn't make a murderer.
So, oddity.
The spoiler. In 2018, a Russian scientist named Sergei was working in Antarctica. And while at the Bellinghausen station, he was working alongside a man named Oleg. Sergei was an engineer and Oleg was a welder. Now, over time, friction began to build between Sergei and Oleg, which eventually led to Sergei allegedly stabbing Oleg in the chest in the station's dining room on the 9th of October.
Fucking took a dark turn.
Didn't it? After this, Oleg was taken to Chile for medical treatment and Sergei was transported to St. Petersburg and arrested, which he was said to have surrendered on his own and without resistance. Sergei was placed under house arrest and was looking at charges of attempted murder. Now, the reason why this is an interesting case, it's very unique because it occurred somewhere where there isn't police, courts, or prisons.
There's no police?
No, it's Antarctica. It's you're out there working, you're doing your thing, but there's not really much else to do. You know what I mean?
Oh.
You're stationed out there to fucking get the job done, more or less, you know?
I just took it like it were a bit like Alaska. So no. I think they still have.
No. So if a crime does occur there, then the person would usually face justice in the country that they're from.
Hmm.
Now, would you like to know what triggered the tension between the two men?
Someone used the last of hot water for their hot water bottle.
No. The pair had been living together in these isolated conditions for 6 months.
One of them's whistling all the time.
No. Oleg was a bit of a divil for spoiling the ending to books that Sergei was wanting to read. I'm being serious. That's apparently what sets up. Now, obviously, like I said, isolated 6 months. Even someone you love is going to get on your nerves, you know? And poor old Sergei, he couldn't take it anymore and was said to have suffered a mental breakdown. I don't want to downplay the severity of fucking stabbing a person in the chest, but what a dick. There will be fuck all to do with the best of times, and this little bastard couldn't even let him just enjoy a book. It's fucking unbelievable. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it's not worth murder.
Oh, well, attempted murder.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, attempted. Get it right. What do you think about that? Stabbing someone over spoiling a book. I'd say this has happened many times. It's more so the Antarctica thing that makes it a bit more interesting. There's that added detail, but...
Yeah, no, like, obviously books, it doesn't really affect me. Movies, like films. Every time we talk to your mother, and we'll be like, oh, I'm thinking of watching this tonight. Oh, as soon as she says, oh, I've watched that, I can't wait to get out of the room.
Yeah.
Because she'll always follow up with, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but, and it's like, she can't help herself. Stop talking, please. We just said we're going to watch it. But yeah, 6 months.
Like, yeah, just let him read a book. Well. We get on well and we can spend a lot of time together. Mm. We do most things together.
Everything.
Yeah. I mean, I said, it's outrageously codependent. It's awful. No, but we do get on very well and we enjoy each other's company.
Hmm.
But 6 months isolated with not much to do.
Yeah.
Then imagine you just have this fucking dick who it seems like is going out of his way just to upset you and ruin your that little glimmer of hope, that little bit of joy you have day to day.
Yeah.
That's all, like, that is psychological warfare.
I know. I think it's hilarious.
You think it's hilarious that he did that?
Yeah.
Do you know what really bothers me about this? If you could read, you would do this to me.
I can read, you cheeky bastard.
Yeah. Did you like how I got that dig in?
Yeah.
I didn't know if you were going to catch it or just agree.
Of course I was going to fucking catch it.
So you're on Oleg's side.
He's the stabby.
The stab E, yes.
Yeah.
Mm.
Is blowing it well out of proportion, this other guy.
I'm certainly not on Sergei's side. I don't want to say that.
Mm. But you're arguing for him.
I'm not happy with Oleg. I think he's being a bit fucking cheeky now.
I don't even know what to say.
I think he's a little shit.